When the room goes quiet, it's time to start. So guys, this is your meeting, your Sunday school. And I'm David Martin. I'm from Montreal. They asked me to take the Sunday school, which in a sense is a big mistake because I can't sing. But there are a lot of people here who can. So I'll make sure your numbers get heard. And we'll let other people start the singing, okay? So does somebody want to suggest a number to start with? You don't have to be on the front row or any particular place. You can just maybe call out a number, and if I hear it well enough, I'll repeat it so everybody hears. Yes, sir. Number 8. Some of the hymns from the books you probably use back at Sunday school at home are on the back page of this hymn sheet. So does anybody else have something they'd like us to sing? Yes? Number 41.
Will be arrayed, wherever in earth.
Somebody else have one they'd like to suggest? Yes. 14. I'm sorry. 14. I didn't. 14? All right. Number 14. I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but did anyone come with a verse that they memorized that they'd like to say? I don't know how you do it back in your own Sunday schools, but if anybody would like to say a verse that they worked on all week, you're sure welcome to. Do we have anyone that would like to do that? Yes. Okay. Anybody else? I guess I should repeat it. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Was that the verse on the paper for this week? The Sunday school paper? Thank you very much. Okay, does anybody else have a hymn that they'd like to suggest? Go ahead. Number 6.
God in mercy sent His Son to a world.
Yeah.
Let's pray together now before we have a lesson from God's Word. Father, we just thank you for this reminder that God is light and God is love, just like we've been hearing yesterday. We thank thee for thy Word, for the simplicity of it, for the power of it, for the reassurance and for the joy that it brings to our hearts to understand that we can have that eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And so now as we spend a little time reading thy word again, we just pray that it would enter our hearts by thy Spirit and it would bring fruit and blessing and peace and joy and most of all, glory to thee, Lord Jesus. And we give thee our thanks, Father, in his worthy name. Amen. Well, you know, I already have someone to help me with this illustration because I figured if I got up here with a rope, I might scare a few people. I have asked William to help me, and I'm going to ask William to come up here now, okay? You know, do any of you know or have you ever been on a sailboat? Yep, me too. Fell out of a couple of them too. But when you're in a sailboat, you really don't have any power. You just have the wind. And so when you're going into some place that you're not sure of, if you make a mistake and go in maybe too fast or at the wrong angle, you might end up either hitting a rock or hitting the shore or something serious could happen. And I'm sure they still do it now, but I know in the early days of sailing when they were exploring and things like that, they would go into they'd come up to the shore and they'd say, boy, I don't know what's in there. So maybe what we'll do is we'll put the anchor, and it couldn't be a huge boat with a huge anchor, obviously. It would be this, you know, a medium-sized sailboat. And in the old days, they didn't really have huge boats. We think of them as huge because they came across the Atlantic to discover America. But they weren't all that big. And they had anchors, and they had little boats on the big sailboat. Dinghies, maybe they called them. And so what they would do was the captain, William here, would send someone like me in one of the small boats and put the anchor in the small boat and row the anchor towards the shore, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to be taking the anchor now towards this place that we're trying to explore and discover, but we really don't know what's in there. So we're going to do this rather carefully and cautiously so we don't run the boat up on the shore or something. So once the anchor gets taken into a place that is secure, it's secured, but you can't really see what it's secured to. So, now William has the job of pulling his boat in to where the anchor is secured, and he's got to follow the rope now to get his boat in safely to the harbor. You can scrunch it all up. I'll untangle it later. But once William gets to the harbor, he's going to find out what his boat has been anchored to. Do you want to come out, William, with your anchor? There's his dad. Now, what better anchor could you have than your own dad? Well, the Bible talks about an anchor, and it's in Hebrews chapter 6. Thank you, Captain. There's some big words in the verses we're going to read, and we're not going to try and pretend it's a reading meeting and explain them all. We're going to just talk about a few of them, all right? So here we're going to read from verse 17 to the end of Hebrews chapter 6. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability. You know what immutability means? It means it can't change. The immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath. An oath is like a promise. I absolutely give you my word. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Well, we'll talk about a few things here, not necessarily in order, but let's talk about the anchor. When William came to the end of his anchor rope, he found his dad holding the other end. Well, these verses in Hebrews tell us that we have an anchor. And that anchor is, did you read it? Did you see it? Who's the anchor? Anybody want to see if they, oh, you didn't have a Bible, but you probably heard. What do you think the anchor is? It's God, it's Jesus. Jesus. Now, what is special about Jesus being the anchor? One of the very special things is that Jesus is a man. He's God, but he's man, right? We know that because he came to earth. We all know the story of how the Lord Jesus died on the cross and he rose again and he went back up into heaven. Now, what is special about Jesus going to heaven, among other things, is that that's the first time that a man, a person with a body, like ours, not exactly like ours because his was perfect, but a body with, as he said, flesh, which is our skin, and bones, which is what holds us up, our skeleton. That's the first time someone with a body went into heaven. Jesus was the first one there as a man, is the first one there. And so the Bible says that he is our anchor. So the anchor is already in the harbor, already in the port. And we know the port, the harbor of heaven, is the safest, most worthwhile place in all of creation to be, and not creation, in all of eternity to be. So there's a man who, in this chapter of the Bible, God draws a parallel or an illustration to and says, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, the man, is the anchor. The man, the anchor, is already in the port, heaven. Now, we read a couple of those words that I explained the earlier on in the 17th and 18th verses. I want to talk to you about that for a minute. I think you obviously know the answer, but I'll let you answer it anyway. Is it possible for God to lie? Absolutely not, right? It's impossible for God to lie. That's an impossibility. We know that. We sang the hymn, the last hymn we sang, God is light. We talked about that yesterday, about God being absolutely without any darkness at all. God is light. There's nothing in God that would even remotely allow the possibility of him lying. Now, what I want to talk about is, why would God say these things to us? Why would God say, it's impossible for me to lie? Why would God say things like, I promise, when we read in the verse 17, he confirmed it by an oath. God saying, I promise you this. You know, when God says something, if you guys all know about creation, right? You know how the world was made, and you know that God said things and they happened. God said, let there be light. He didn't make light. He didn't kind of form it like we would make something with our hands. God just said the words, let there be light. And there was light. When God says something, it happens. It is. It's true. There's no possibility of any change, of anything going wrong, of anything being confused. It's true. It happens. And it only needs His word to make it happen. But think of this. God is saying in these verses, it talks about two things, two unchangeable things. The first unchangeable thing is that when God says something, it can't be changed. It's true. It happens. It exists. But then God says, you know what? I promise you this. Now imagine God saying to us, I promise. If He says, I promise, obviously it's not going to change. But how, I'm going to use the word kind, but how loving God is to say things to us twice. First of all, because of who He is, He says something and it's true. And then He says, you know what? I promise you this. You know, our parents, they might say, you know, I promise I'll be at your soccer game or I'll be at your concert or I'll be wherever you're going to be. And we know that that's really what they want to do. They want to be there. They'll do everything that they can to be there. But, you know, if there's traffic, if there's a problem, we understand that it doesn't always happen the way they would like it to happen. And so there's with people, there's a bit of an if, even though they might really want to do something, it doesn't always work out, right? With God, it's not that way, of course. You know that. When God says it, it happens, and there's no question. But because God knows how hard it is for us sometimes to believe. Isn't it hard sometimes to believe? What's believing? It's by faith we believe in something, someone we can't see. And that's not always easy, is it? It's not easy for us as people to believe something that we can't see. But God, when He says, I am going to give you eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives us what we need to be able to believe, and that's faith, right? We understand a little bit about faith. God says, you can believe because I'm giving you the faith to believe, to know something that we can't see, to know someone that we can't see. A real person with a body that the Lord Jesus left this earth with is somewhere and we can't see Him. But God, more than just saying you will see Him, He says, I promise you will see Him. And He knows that sometimes it's hard for us to understand, it's hard for us to believe, it's hard for us to really let it affect our lives like it really could or should. So He says, I promise. Now think of how much God loves us and how reassuring God is to, you might say, take the extra step of saying, I promise you this. Well, what we have then is we have a hope. And, you know, if you guys ever remember the rope, I want you to kind of forget the rope and think about the hope. Because the hope is what we have. Now, what's the hope? The hope is that we are going to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. And you know what? He's already there. He's at the other end of our anchor hope, not our anchor rope, but our anchor hope. And the only question is how much rope or hope do we have to pull before we come around the corner, or before, what I mean by that is the Lord comes and we actually see who's on the other end of our hope. It's Jesus. He's already there, and God says, I promise you, you're going to be there too. So when we get unsure sometimes, or when we don't really understand, we can always kind of remind ourselves that God has said, I promise. It's like he doubled the promise. He said it, and then he said, I promise. And we know that on the other end of that promise, the other end of that hope, is the Lord Jesus, almost like Fred standing there holding the other end of the rope, just waiting for us to come around the corner, and then we're going to see him. We're going to see that it was true all along. Something that we really know, but something that we come sometimes maybe struggle with a bit, we're going to say, yes, it's true. Of course it was true all along. There he is. It's the Lord Jesus. God said it. God promised it was true. There he is. There's my hope. There's my anchor. We're home. That's what we're looking for. And maybe it's only a short piece of rope or hope left. Living by faith every day takes energy and effort. It's something that we need to feed with the Bible, the verses from the Bible, to remind us, to give us that encouragement, to allow us to carry on for another day. It's our life. It's our spiritual food. It's our spiritual energy. But one day, we're going to come to the end of the hope, the faith part where we don't see, and yet we believe, and we're going to actually see. And we won't need the hope anymore. We won't need the faith anymore. Why? Because we're going to be there. We're going to see him. We're going to be right there, and we're going to know then it's true. It's true. And God, to help us along, says, I promise. Let's remember that. Let's thank him for being so thoughtful and so loving and so concerned about the questions and the doubts and things that we might have, that he says, I promise. Jesus is at the other end of the hope, and it won't be very long, and you'll be there too. Somebody else would like to give us a hymn to sing? Yeah, 11.
We have an anchor that keeps us so
pray. Father, we just thank Thee that we're almost there. Thank Thee that the one who loved us and gave Himself for us is there already, and we're about to remember Him once more, and yet we know that very soon we will not need even that remembrance, but we'll see Him. We'll see Thee, Lord Jesus, and we thank Thee for Thy grace and mercy towards us and for Thy loving kindness that gives us such assurance and such a firm and solid hope. And so we just give thanks that Thy word is so clear and so plain and speaks to our hearts by Thy Spirit. And we give thanks, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved us, gave Himself for us, and will soon be in His very presence. And so we ask it in His name. Amen.